And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, we're Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you want. If you can't listen live overnight. I still think that's going to be one of the biggest stories of the day.
Yeah.
Is the whole thing. Because it's what got me immediately when I woke up last night. Because when I went to sleep, I didn't know that, you know, they were going to, quote, bail out.
Mm.
Silicon Valley Bank. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Quote, bail out. Quotation marks, end of quote.
Mm. Yeah.
Because Janet Yellen said it's not a bailout. And that's going to be the question today because it already started. You and I mentioned earlier how some of the economists were going at it on Twitter when mm-hmm. one said it's not a bailout. To go, what are you talking about? Of course it's a bailout.
Right.
And, you know, and we said we asked it as a question because there are a number of concerns. And that is the fact that it's being reported that they have the assets they have would cover 95% of deposits.
Right.
But when Janet Yellen said, and if they're, you know, this goes to the FDIC and we will recoup that cost of guaranteeing uninsured deposits, because that's the key here.
Right.
The bailout is in the $250,000 per account for the that's part of the FDIC protection, but this would go way in above that and cover everything. And they said we would just raise the fees to participating banks, which means okay, may not be directly a bailout of the you know with the taxpayer bailing them out, but it's indirect because it goes to fees.
Right. And that's the question.
You pay for it one way or another.
What is the law state? Is it within the law that you're doing that? And then beyond that, are other individuals going to be then basically footing the bill for all of this? And as she describes it, quite possibly. One of the stories that was breaking overnight, Silicon Valley Bank UK, it was announced will be acquired by HSBC in a deal that protects deposits there. And we'll find out, I guess, if there is going to be the same here in the U.S. I would think that an acquisition is probably going to be the way it works out. But we'll see. Even a Democrat, Mark Warner of Virginia, was saying the best case scenario is an acquisition. We'll see if that happens, and we could hear something, I guess, on that as early as today, but I'm not sure. But word from the UK in the last little over an hour, Silicon Valley Bank UK will be acquired by HSBC. We'll see what happens here in the States.
As Wall Street Journal writes, but Rohit Chopra, the Elizabeth Warren type on the FDIC board, is hostile to bank mergers on ideological grounds,
right,
and the purchase terms could be too onerous for some potential buyers. Mm. The biggest banks are now the safest, and deposits are now flooding into them. J.P. Morgan can park that money now in the Federal Reserve and earn interest on its reserves. Why take on a new political headache, which would be acquiring SBC? SBC executives made mistakes, and they will pay for them, but they were encouraged by easy money and misguided regulation. As the Fed flooded the world with dollar liquidity, money flowed into venture startups that were SVB's customer base. The bank's deposits soared far beyond what it could safely lend. In a world of near zero interest rates, SVB put the money in long-duration fixed income assets in search of a higher return. Regulators, after the 2008 crisis, had deemed these treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities nearly risk-free for the purpose of measuring bank capital. If regulators say they're risk-free, bank and depositors may be less careful. But those securities declined in value as the Fed took interest rates up quickly to break the inflation it helped cause. God, it all goes back to the damn government. SVB had enormous capital losses, and it was forced to liquidate those assets before maturity. That's exactly what happened as SVB customers withdrew their deposits.
Right.
The San Francisco Fed regulates SVB and somehow missed this rising vulnerability. The Fed and Treasury will try to blame the bankers, but they are as much, if not more, culpable. The idea of elevating the San Francisco Fed president, Mary Daly, to the Board of Governors seems preposterous now after SVB. Wow. He said, all more so because the duration risk at banks may not be limited to SVB, as last week's sell-off of the regional bank stock show. The FDIC was creating an entity to protect SVB's insured depositors up to the legal limit of $250,000, but something like 85% to 90% of SVB's deposits are uninsured. The worry is that depositors in other banks will now flee. Thus, the cries for federal intervention. Treasury Secretary Yellen said Sunday there will be no bailout for SVB, but she's indulging in semantics. The Fed said that they will guarantee even uninsured deposits at SVB as well as Signature Bank in New York. By the way, any bank like Signature Bank, where Barney Frank is on the board of directors, should get no FDIC protection at all. None. After the debacle he helped cause an engineer in 2008. Typically, a bank's failure, those depositors would get their money back with a 15 to 20% haircut. This would no doubt be a hardship for many customers, but the $250,000 limit was known. Will the universal uninsured deposit guarantee be next? This would be monumental policy surrender, essentially admitting that the regulatory machine established in 2010 by Dodd-Frank failed. We may be the only people in the world who still worry about moral hazard. This is the Wall Street Journal editorial page. But a nationwide guarantee for uninsured deposits, even for a limited time, means this will become the default policy anytime there is a financial pandemic. There's also the question, and this is a key here. This again could make the taxpayer directly involved in a bailout. The question of legality. The FDIC created a transaction account guarantee program amid the 2008 pandemic, but Congress explicitly let it expire in Dodd-Frank. Congress set the $250,000 insured limit to protect average Americans, not venture investors in Silicon Valley. The FDIC may have resorted to its systemic risk exception for SVB and Signature, but this is a stretch considering their size. The joint statement by regulators said it received the required two-thirds vote of both the FDIC and the Fed boards, and we'd like to see the creative legal work by the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department. The Fed is acting as it should as a provider of liquidity to all comers, but it's going further and offering one-year loans to banks against collateral for treasuries and other fixed income assets. The Fed will value these assets at par, which means banks don't have to sell their assets at a loss. The Fed is essentially guaranteeing bank assets that are taking losses because banks took duration risk that Fed policies encouraged, this too is a bailout.
Well, that's it, because you set up a scenario where it's implied that the government has your back. We've been through this before with the entire housing thing. And with Fannie and Freddie in play, then you took so much risk out of it. And that's the problem that we have here. And it's very real, and it's not unique to these two banks. One thing about Signature Bank, not only do they have Barney Frank as a board member, but also they have some exposure to crypto. In fact, to the tune of 27% of their deposits early last year, and this had doubled at about that point over a couple of years, were crypto companies. Well, you look at that and, you know, you think about what your exposure is as a company. Is the mindset that, oh, no, it's all going to be fine. Well, when the government has your back, you can behave that way. A red flag isn't a red flag. You and I look at it and say, well, no, that we would have to analyze that and say, no, that's too much, way too much exposure. More than 25% of your deposits are crypto companies. You know, when you look at that and then you look at Silicon Valley Bank. Well, if the government's got your back, oh, we're fine. Everything's fine. Then you don't have a real, that's socialism in banking. And when there is failure, then it falls on everybody. And there's no way around that. Over and over again, because if you look at it, the deposits in a bank like Silicon Valley Bank are well over $250,000.
Yeah.
And so, look, if and I don't know to what extent this is available for commercial banking accounts. I would think it's probably limited. But I know with personal bank accounts, you can go beyond the FDIC insurance. You can actually pay for other insurance policies as individuals. I don't know that that applies to commercial bank accounts. I would think that would be a pretty big risk for those insurance providers. But the point is that they knew going in that the only guarantee is $250,000. Well, if they know that, then they can mitigate those risks themselves. They can make those choices as to, you know, how much they're going to do with one bank. But Silicon Valley itself had become a, you know, iconic, and almost as if, well, Silicon Valley was too big to fail. Well, what has happened? Tech took a downturn. Venture capitalists weren't giving as much money, putting as much money into those companies as before. So those with deposits in Silicon Valley Bank, not getting that investment, used their money, and they were taking those deposits out of the bank. The bank wasn't able to keep up with that. And then, according to Barney Frank, that it was just a run on fear for Signature Bank on Friday. He said it happened all within a couple of hours. It was to the tune of billions of dollars being withdrawn, a run on the bank, Signature Bank, on Friday. My question, when you open the books, is that too also about something fundamental, and that is your exposure to things like Silicon Valley Bank had, crypto, or anything else? You know, I don't know that I'll just say this. I don't take the word of a Barney Frank.
No, like I said, I mean, when you told me he was on the board, I just went, yeah. How?
Yeah, I know. I know.
I know.
I know. But isn't it perfect?
No, it was perfect.
It's perfect for this scenario?
Yes, it was absolutely perfect. It had to be that.
Because you look at what Dodd-Frank did, and you look at this, and it's like, oh, well, no, the government's got your back. Too big to fail. We got your back. We're fine. Everything's fine. Crypto, Bitcoin being slashed. You know, that's, don't worry about that.
No, it couldn't have been any other way.
Tech companies are, you know, not getting the venture capitalists like they were getting involved in, you know, in that kind of investment. They'll just use their own money. And, hey, why are there so many withdrawals from the bank? We should use some of our money. Oh, we don't. Oh, yeah. There are plenty of red flags, but all those red flags go away when the government has got your back.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Although USDA's recent weekly export sales reports show a slowdown in U.S. ag exports, the latest complete trade numbers we have are for January, and what a way to start the new year, $17 billion worth of ag export business.
By far, and by far I mean over $1 billion, the best January on record.
USDA economist Bart Kenner says for the first 4 months of this fiscal year, October through January, the U.S. sold into export ag products worth $69 billion.
And that is a 32% increase over the $52.4 billion of last year.
So exports during the first 4 months of the 2023 fiscal year did show plenty of strength, but
there is an expectation that things are slowing down going forward.
That's reflected in USDA's new export forecast issued just a couple of weeks ago, forecasting exports for the year $184.5 billion, 6% below 2022's record. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report is made possible by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel and Citgo Lubricants.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at Motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6 and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband
and co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin. I'm Gary McNamara. Unbelievable. Sometimes we just shake our heads. Yeah. So we're sitting here having this conversation back and forth about the fact that, you know, Jerome Powell actually was before the Congress, what, a week ago? Week and a half ago?
Yeah.
And Democrats were going crazy about interest rates going
Elizabeth
up
Warren was going after
Elizabeth Warren was going after it. Yeah. Was that the audio cut we played? Was that Elizabeth Warren we played? Because we played it on the air. We were saying, okay, now they're freaking out because interest rates could, you know, cause a, you know, job losses and just make everything worse as election time rolls around again in a little over a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, then you were saying, you said, I wonder if Elizabeth Warren or anybody else out there will be screaming and saying, see, these bank failures are the favor of Powell and the interest rates, and you found it.
Okay, I said it. I literally said it out loud. Wait for Elizabeth Warren to go after Jerome Powell. He caused these banks to fail, and it could keep going if he's going to keep raising the interest rates. I did a Google search, and it was posted 27 minutes ago, an opinion piece in the New York Times, a guest essay by Elizabeth Warren. We can prevent more bank failures. I kid you not, that's how all that went down off the air, and I found it, and here's one paragraph that is key to this, and here's what she writes. First, Congress, you know, here's what can be done, and we can keep this from happening again. First, Congress, the White House, and banking regulators should reverse the dangerous banking deregulation of the Trump era. Well, she had to start by going after Trump, of course. That's obligatory. Repealing the 2018 legislation that weakened the rules for banks like SVB must be an immediate priority for Congress. Similarly, Mr. Powell's disastrous tailoring of these rules has put our economy at risk, and it needs to end now. He needs to stop raising interest rates. I called it and found it in the same minute, and it was posted just minutes ago at the New York Times. Elizabeth Warren, we can prevent more bank failures.
Well, at least we're able to read their minds now.
Well, I guess
we're so used to analyzing the left, where now we can sit there and. But we sit here and go, it'd be absurd if somebody did that. Oh, Eric says, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought, you know, politically that's the way she'll play it. And then not only did she play it, but she wrote it for in a guest essay opinion piece for the New York Times. And it posted just minutes ago.
Wow.
Consider yourself canceled if you don't listen nightly. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, we always like looking at far-out predictions from the left and seeing if they come true or not, right?
Okay, yeah, we do.
Greta Thunberg made a prediction in 2018 that the world would end in 5 years.
Well, it's been nice.
On Saturday, a Human Events senior editor tweeted at Greta Thunberg saying, Hi, Greta, why did you delete this? The deleted tweet in question had Greta quoting this. A climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. The date? Of her tweet, June 21st, 2018. So we have a little over 3 months to live on the planet Earth, according to Greta. Now, she deleted the tweet. Does that mean that she has moved the date? Because remember, the left, and again, this is if you live in the bubble of today, you just don't even remember 5 years ago. She was deified almost. Greta says it, therefore the left wanted to interview her. Greta Thunberg, what does she have to say? But let's listen to the child who has no idea of engineering or science or physics or anything. What she is she's a brainwashed, fearful child that had despicable human beings around her, adults that told her lies and sent a child out, a paranoid child out, to regurgitate the adult nutcases, bizarro delusions. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. Well, so should I prepare for
no.
the end of the world?
No, the movie was on the other day. I watched the first part of it over the weekend. I can't think of it.
2012?
No. The one where the meteor's coming down.
And
David Duchovny's ex, or is it still his wife? I think it's his ex, isn't it?
Oh, okay. That one's the different one.
Deep Impact.
Yeah. Deep Impact.
Deep Impact, yeah.
That was the one meteor movie.
Yeah, that was.
And then Armageddon with Aerosmith's daughter and
the Aerosmith.
Bruce Willis and...
But those weren't. Did they
Matt Damon's heterosexual life partner?
They,
huh?
I just love him. Man, you've what? Said that so many times. Matt Damon's heterosexual life partner. From Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Those weren't climate change movies, though. Technically, were they? I mean, they didn't blame climate change for the meteors. Did
yeah,
they?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And much. To the dismay of Greta, we've grown by over half a billion since. We're not only wiping out the population since 2017. We've grown by over half a billion as a global population. So
here we are. There's one story, since we're talking Greta. Mm-hmm. Biden indefinitely blocks millions of acres of land and water from future oil drilling.
Right.
The Biden administration announced on Sunday evening that it is indefinitely blocking 16 million acres of federal land and water in Alaska for future fossil fuel drilling. The Department of the Interior said it had initiated a rulemaking process to establish maximum protection for 13 million acres of land across the National Petroleum Reserve.
Mm.
And then today, they're supposed to announce that the Biden administration is expected to announce today that they're approving three of the five drilling sites for the Willow Project, an oil project proposed years ago by energy company ConocoPhillips.
Yeah.
The DOA announcement, meanwhile, is an apparent attempt of the administration to soften the blow for climate activists ahead of the expected decision on a massive 30-year drilling project in the NPR.
Hmm.
So this is Biden trying to have it both ways.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to drill, but I'm going to ban it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. You said you were going to ban drilling. Well, I did. It's serious. It's no joke. Well, you said you were going to expand drilling. Well, I did. It's serious. Yeah. No joke.
Tell you one thing. It's going to be pounded. Because now he's going against. Now he's gone against the left on a few things now, as we know.
Yeah.
That have infuriated them. The crime bill, number one. And then this. And he's going to. The thing is. He's not just going to let it happen. He'll promote it.
I'm waiting for him to...
He'll promote both.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to announce that he's going to veto his own veto.
But
what's
this,
the over-under that that's going to happen before he's done being president?
Look, this is a case of Biden just looking at the people that vote Democrat and he believes a significant portion of independents and saying they're idiots. I can do it both ways. I can say I'm for petroleum and against petroleum. That's what we do here. This is the way we do it. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, let's allow them to have this, and then we cut back this, and then I'm being reasonable. That's the middle. The middle is bull BSing.
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't say the full word there, but I do feel like saying it.
Bat soup.
He's bat souping.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the same impact.
No, it doesn't. No.
Yeah.
Bull. And that's like, there's like,
there's. The other one has such a bigger impact, including losing your job.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now I'm going to be accused of, see, You've criticized others that aren't willing to tell how they really feel on the air, and now you won't say that word.
Did you read Eric's texts? They were filled with expletives. He's lying when he's on the air.
He said bad soup.
He's not saying the same thing that he says off the air.
He doesn't mean bad soup unless he's talking Fauci.
That's right.
But I mean, it's perfect Biden. I can play both sides. I'll tell you, I have cut, but you did it over here. But I quit changing the topic.
Yeah.
It's the same topic.
Right.
But they're going to do it. I mean, I can't wait to watch Karine Jean-Pierre do it.
Yeah.
I saw Pete Ducey asked a question on Friday. It was like, does the president, with the president announcing that he's going to do all this massive new drilling, does he care about the environment or fossil fuels? I mean, it was like, now they're going to say he cares about both.
He cares about both. He cares about everything. He cares about you. He cares about me.
Because he believes, and the administration believe, and the Democrats believe, that the people that vote for them are idiots, and they can play this little mind game with them, and they'll accept it. When their whole goal is to get rid of fossil fuels, and that's their goal. They know they can't. Well, some of them know they can't.
Hmm.
That anybody knows that when Biden said, well, we're going to still need it for the next decade, and everybody burst out laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? It all seems like a horrible joke.
They laughed at that was a state of the, I forgot that was a state of the union.
State of the union.
We're still going to need petroleum for the next decade. Everybody burst out
decade.
Laughing.
Really? But you look at it honestly, I fully expect that, you know, this is going to continue. After the whole thing on the D.C. crime bill, because how do you not have everyone surrounding you coordinating that? You know, with everybody coming out going, well, Biden's not the one in control. Somebody else is running the show. There's a bunch of other people. No, they're not. And the reason I know that is because this is quintessential Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
These moves are out of Joe Biden's place. You're not going to tell him what to do. And then it doesn't matter which way his party goes. He's just going to be defiant for the sake of being defiant.
Next week, Joe Biden is going to announce that he is the first in the history of the nation. He is the first pro-choice, pro-life president.
Yes. Pro-choice life.
Pro-choice life. Choice and life.
Choice and life.
No, you put life first.
Life and choice.
I'm your life and choice instead of hope and change.
I'm your life and choice.
I hold both positions, which is why you need to vote for me. I wonder if you could sell that to the idiots.
No, I
wonder if I seriously.
Well,
I wish I was joking, but
tell me what
I am
else,
in a way, but in a way I'm not.
What would be more bizarre than what he has done? What he's actually done recently? His entire party on that D.C. crime bill was like, "What are you doing? How did we not get a heads up?" Because that's what tells me that it's not other people running this show. Because this is Beltway 101. Okay, look, we're all going this direction. Okay,
yeah,
and this is the way that. All right, everybody on board.
He betrayed them. He betrayed
and
them politically.
He got defiant and said it wasn't. It's not even like a gauntlet move. He's not, it's not like he was trying to accomplish something. I mean, politically, yeah, but he wasn't trying to prove something to his own party. It's just sheer defiance.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably going to see more of this.
No, that's a great point. That was almost a defiance. You think that part of it is a defiance at his party because he doesn't feel as if he's getting the support that he believes he deserves for the great success he's been, and so there's bitterness at the party?
I, I think maybe I don't know. I don't know what he's expecting, but there's no doubt that it is defiance, and you're not going to tell him how he's going to go. Sorry, no way. You're not going to tell him. Look, if he had been, you know, doing interviews and making statements and saying, look, I know my party, my Democrat friends are on Capitol Hill are moving in this direction, but I don't support this, and here's why. And he had been out there kind of campaigning, that would be one thing. But all of a sudden, there was a luncheon one day, and the entire room is looking around going, what just happened?
Yeah.
What just happened? We would have been fine going that direction had we had known. They didn't even make a phone call.
Yeah, because you burned us. Is what you did.
Yeah.
You burned us as Democrats.
Yeah.
You betrayed us. You said you were voting one way, and we didn't actually, and that's what I got out of it. We actually didn't want to vote that way.
Right.
But we went with where you were going to support you, and then you backed out and betrayed us and left us hanging, which was a quote from one of the Democratic congressmen.
Right. And then even after that, it was days later before Schumer was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm on board with the president too.
Yeah.
That's sheer defiance for no reason, except when you know who Joe Biden is. He's always defiant.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. And so I think that's the first thing I thought of when I woke up last night, because when I woke up is where I saw Janet Yellen said no bailout. And I'm like, what are you talking about, no bailout?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're just going to take the money from the FDIC, and we'll just pass it on with higher fees. That's a bailout. It's a bailout. It may not be a bailout of the stockholders,
right?
But it's a bailout of the depositors that does not exist under congressional law.
Right.
Now, that may be a huge problem, because if they go ahead with this, I mean, will there be an immediate stay before if the depositors can go in today and get their money, then how do you stop it you can only stop it after it's already been done. Or tomorrow, if you got a stay, if somebody, you know, and who's ready to file that quickly, I don't know who would be harmed in this, if this would be a.
I don't know. I think the
I'm trying to think, yeah, I'm trying the, to think of just. I'm just trying to think of the justification for filing a federal lawsuit here.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
it's likely going to be an acquisition announcement before anything. I think there's a ton of discussion on very important things, and we've been talking about those and about bailouts and the government's involvement and. You know, and all of that. But I think we're more like, especially because of HSBC in the UK, I think we're probably going to hear something today or tomorrow.
Maybe Fannie and Freddie will just spy them.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.